Number 13, I think, Justin Judson. I have trouble keeping those two guys separate. Yeah, I'm far away from you. I realize that. I had the option to stand down there, but I don't like to. So if I'm too far away, come up close. You can hear much better up here rather than in the back. There you go. Well, once again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Father, for this privilege that's ours. We missed the opportunity this morning to gather and worship you and fellowship with your people. Thank you for these who made the choice to take advantage of the service this evening. We pray your blessing on each one. I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit as I share the word. I pray that I would bring forth the truth in a manner that pleases you. We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, I would like us to continue our Sunday evening messages on the theme of the heart. We have looked at several messages that actually I had preached, I think, back in 2008, some of them 2009. And we just felt that it would be good to bring those back, take a look once again at the truth from God's Word with regards to our heart. Andrew, I know you like to put titles on those little discs. Let's call this one tonight, and for you note takers, let's call this, What's Your Inclination? What's your inclination? In an appeal that Joshua made near the end of his life to his people, we discover that he made reference to their relationship with God. In Joshua chapter 24, I would like us to look at verses 22, 23, and 24. Joshua 24, 22, 23, and 24. And here Joshua said unto the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord. Notice what's the context of that. Look back just a verse or two before that. It says in verse 20, if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And so in our first verse, Joshua said, you're witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore, put away, said he, Joshua, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. If you would take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. At the close of Solomon's prayer of dedication for the newly built and completed temple. He stood and pronounced this blessing on the people that had gathered that day. 1 Kings 8, begin at verse 56. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he hath promised. There hath not failed one word of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us, nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments which he commanded our fathers. And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, and that there is none else. Now we find the same word in both of these references, with this difference, though. Here, in this last reference that we looked at, we saw Solomon making reference to God, that he may incline our hearts unto him. Sounds like it's something that God does. While in Joshua suggested to them that it was something that he was expecting them to do. In Joshua's words there, in Joshua 24, he said, incline your hearts unto the Lord. In 1 Kings 8, that God might incline your hearts unto him. Who does the work? The Lord? Us? What's the answer? Well, what I'd like us to look at is, perhaps in answering that question, for you note takers, let's see number one, how the word is used. How the word is used. When this word is translated incline, the most common usage in Scripture is connected with the ears, not the heart. Let's look at some references. For instance, in Psalm 17, verse 6, the psalmist says this, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. The psalmist is actually calling upon God, and in using terminology that we can understand, what was the psalmist asking God to do? Listen to me. Incline
your ear to me, God.
Let's look at Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he what? He inclined unto me and heard my cry. Once again, it's in connection with one listening, and in both Psalm 17 and in Psalm 40, the psalmist makes reference to the Lord doing the one that's listening, inclining the ear toward the psalmist. Let's go on. Psalm 71. Psalm 71, we notice in verses 1 and 2 these words, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear unto me and save me. Once again, the psalmist is, in human terminology, praying, Lord, pay attention to me. Listen to my cry. As we look at Psalm 88, we look at verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 88, 1, 2, and 3. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear unto my cry, for my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. One last reference that we would turn to would be in Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9 in verse 18, he says, O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes. Behold our desolations and the city which is called by your name, for we do not present our supplications before you for our righteousnesses, but for your great mercies. Rather interesting as we think about this, but you see the common ways, the ways that the word incline is usually connected in Scripture, has to do with inclining one's ears. And in every reference we looked at, interestingly enough, it was the one who was praying the prayer, making his supplications, Lord, would you pay attention? Would you listen to my prayer? Would you turn your ears and hear what I have to say? You know, when one knows the Lord as their own personal Savior, what a great privilege that is to cry out such to our God. The man of the street, the man of the world, the man that doesn't know the Lord, they have no assurance that God is listening to them, do they? Interestingly enough, though, one of the first words out of the mouth of the unsaved, the lost, the reprobate in the time of difficulties and trial is what? Oh God, what? Help. Don't have any time for you any other time, but man, I'm between a rock and a hard place, and oh God, help me. In each of these instances that we saw, it's not a time of crisis, a time of panic. It's a time of faith being expressed by the one who is writing it. As we look at this, that's the common usage, how it's used, but there is also the rarer, is that a word? Rarer? It's kind of hard to say. Rarer. That er doesn't want to get on there. The rarer usage in connection with the heart. We saw it in Joshua 24. We saw it in 1 Kings chapter 8. Well, we've seen how it's used most times with the ear, but it can be used in connection with the heart. Secondly, what does it mean to incline towards something? The root word here, incline, means to stretch or spread out. To stretch or spread out. To incline towards something, you're stretching, you're trying to get in moving in a certain direction. Wilson's Word Studies also adds this. It is applied to the stretching out or extending the heart towards an object. It is applied to the stretching out or the extending of the heart towards an object. In what way? In regard towards something. Stretching out the heart or toward something in mercy. Or thirdly, in compassion toward someone. As is the case with most words, there are other variations or ways that the same word is used, which when we look at them, we often gain even greater understanding. Having said that, I would like us to think for a few moments, number three, some variations regarding insight. Variations regarding incline, pardon me. Variations for incline. And as we said, our message title is tonight, What's Your Inclination? We've looked to see what incline means. It means to stretch, spread out, extend the heart or ears towards something in mercy, compassion, or regard towards something. But this third point that we're looking at, let's see some variations for inclination. Sometimes we find that the same word, which is translated incline, that same word is translated apply. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs 2:2. Proverbs 2:2. Notice it says, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. You say, well, Pastor, I thought you said sometimes this word is translated apply. It is. Right there in black and white, apply your heart to understanding.
But my Bible says in the first phrase, so that thou incline thine heart unto wisdom. Guess what? It's not the same word. It's a different Hebrew word. But the same word that we have been looking at in all these previous references that is translated incline in Joshua, in 1 Kings, in all of those references, in Psalms, in Daniel. That is the word which here in Proverbs 2:2 is translated apply. Apply. So, if we talk about what's our inclination, what's the inclination of our heart, we might say, what do we apply our hearts to? Same thought. What is it that we apply our hearts to? Here's another variation of this same word, inclination. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles 21. 1 Chronicles 21. And in verse 10, it says, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them that I may do it unto thee. You want to venture a guess what the same word that's translated incline in other references is translated differently in this 10th verse? And I'll give you a hint, it's not the word choose. Do it? No? Offer. Offer in our scriptures is the same word that is apply or incline. Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Hey, you remember what definition of inclination was? The spreading out. That's what one of the definitions was. And isn't that fitting here in 1 Chronicles 28:10. Thus saith the Lord, I spread before you three things. Choose one of them. I'm offering you. I'm inclining. I'm spreading before you three options. You got to choose one of them. So, we see here the word offer. We've seen the word apply. Variations for insight. There's one more word that we can find if you look in Scripture, that it's the same root word, but when they translated the Scriptures, they didn't translate it incline, they didn't translate it apply, they didn't translate it offer. What did they translate it? They used the word turn. Turn. 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. And in verse 3, listen to these words. Remember, let's begin at the verse 1. Came to pass when Samuel was old, he made his sons judges over Israel.
The name of the first was Joel. The name of the second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his way, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment or justice. What'd they incline their hearts toward? Lucre. What's that? Money. That's what they were leaning toward. That's what they were interested in. Sounds like some godly boys, doesn't it? Let's turn to 1 Kings and let's see regarding Solomon, this same third variation. 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11. And we start at verse 1. I hate it. I've told you this before. When you find in Scripture that little three-letter word starting a new chapter, because so many times, what is that indicating? There's a change. Something isn't going to continue on like it had. And up to this point, Samuel, or the book of Kings, had been giving the record of Solomon's success, of his leadership, his kingship, all the wealth, all the possessions that he had there in the city of Jerusalem. No other king had ever had what he had. Couldn't have had it any better. But our verse 1 says, But Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go in to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. I want you to listen to how many times you find the word turn or turned in these 10 verses that we're going to look at. We've already seen it here one time in verse 2. He had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord as did David his father. Then did David build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, foreign wives, that's what that meant, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord, God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing.
that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. As we look at this, we see numerous times regarding Solomon that this word turn is used here, and it's that same word. Turn, offer, apply, incline, says it all. With these different meanings given, as we think about those starting references that we looked at, in Joshua chapter 24, verses 22, 23, and 24, and we looked at 1 Kings chapter 8, who's responsible to do the stretching, the turning, or the offering? In 1 Kings chapter 8, Solomon was relying on God to do a work in their hearts, to stretch them in the direction toward obedience to God, toward application of His word, etc. That's the same truth that we see some of the psalmist references. Let me give you Psalm 119, verse 36. It says this, "Incline my heart unto your testimonies, and not to covetousness." Psalm 141, verse 4. There the psalmist was asking the Lord to incline his heart toward him. In Psalm 141, verse 4, "Incline, don't have me stretch my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity. Let me not eat of their dainties." So, it can have reference to relying on God to do the pulling, to do the inclining. But in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua was calling upon the nation, the people, to do the work of turning and applying themselves to obedience. Inclining one's heart toward the Lord is not accidental. It's not automatic. I'd like to suggest that it's not even natural. What is it? It seems to suggest in Scripture that rather than it being natural, it's something that must be deliberate, intentional, and willful. It's not going to happen unless you or I stretch, incline, offer, turn our hearts to the Lord. We close with Psalm 119, verse 112. Psalm 119, 112. The psalmist said this, "I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end." How did it happen, David? It was an intentional response on his part. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes always. What's that? To keep God's word always. Hey, what's your inclination? God will do his part. The closing question is, will you? Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the insight of these words this evening. A simple word, understandable applications and explanations of it. Help us to take this simple truth home. May we search our own hearts. What is the inclination of our hearts before you? Is it the things of you? Or is it the things of the world? Is it self? Is it our Savior? Dismiss us now with your blessing. Take us safely home. We thank you once again for your faithfulness. In your name I pray. Amen.